This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time, where we skip into the weekend knowing that Aston Villa aren't playing on the weekend.
Beautiful.
And then they're not playing for 2 weeks. This is a great time in our lives. Joining me to discuss the Saints game, Mr. Chris Bird, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad, but the show's in a bit of a precarious situation here because it's something for the weekend and we're not actually playing on the weekend. With that in mind, this show's going to be a bit shorter. We normally start the show with a Villa Minute, but our sponsors this week, Casio, haven't actually sent the watches through, so I don't think...
We couldn't count a minute if we wanted to.
And it's not going to take a minute to sum up what happened at Villa Park. You can say it in one word, can't you? So, Chris, what's the word?
Shit.
That'll do. For fans of a Villa Minute, don't worry, it will be back. We normally just use something for the weekend just to react to the Dean Smith's press conference and catch up on anything that's happened since we last spoke. First up, the injury news. Who was right? Was it one of the local press? I can't remember. Who wrote that Jacob Ramsey would be out for 6 weeks?
He definitely did the rounds.
Yeah, I definitely remember seeing it. But anyway, he's available, so no problems there. Morgan Sanson, Jadon Philbin-Biedis also back training. I think Morgan Sanson's a 50-50 in terms of starting. I think they need to start getting him in because there was something in The Guardian, I think it was that Who Scored guy, writing about one bollock that Villa dropped was not getting a defensive midfielder and there's no bite to the midfield and that was a big mistake. Well, actually, they got in Morgan Sanson. This article failed to mention him at all.
Who was originally valued at 25 million, apparently, so he clearly isn't a bad player.
30 million in some... I mean, 30 million seems to be an unlucky number for Villa's acquisitions, but, well, luckily it was about 14, 16, whatever it was. But, Morgan Sanson quotes at the time were saying, I'm a worrier. I like this team's spirit. And Grealish was saying in his interviews that Sanson had been bought in to add some bite to the midfield. So this is the kind of guy that fits the bill of exactly what Villa need at this moment.
Did you mean a warrior or a worrier?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Because he's definitely a worrier with his injury record and he's definitely not much of a warrior at the moment.
That is a problem, yeah. I think you've hit it on the nail on the head there. So if he was, as it said on the package or the tin, then I think we're okay. But that's the problem. He has not been fit. Now, that's a conversation for another date, but hopefully he can get back, because if he is close to what we're expecting from him, adding a bit of bite in midfield and, let's say, being an all-round box-to-box, this could be important in terms of the balance in the midfield, in terms of getting the best out of Buendia, because suddenly you could put like Sanson alongside Louise and then play as kind of two deeper sitters, or more, let's say, central, and Buendia ahead of them, and then you wide men. I mean, maybe McGinn doesn't have a part to play in a well-balanced Villa team to get the best out of you, Bailey, Buendia. I mean, that's maybe a conversation for another day.
Well, there's certainly going to be, at some point, I'm sure, in the relatively not too distant future, there's going to be a high-profile casualty.
Yeah, because this team, once players are fit, your best 11 players won't necessarily be playing.
No,
your best starting 11, and that is the conundrum Smith has to solve, and obviously has to solve with a little bit of urgency, considering the consecutive losses are starting to mount up. The other news, Ings, Douglas Luiz and Bertrand Traoré are still out. Konsa will miss the game. His appeal to his red card has been upheld, so he is suspended. Still a bit kind of dubious, the injuries on the, you know, is there any COVID-related absence there? I don't know, because there seem to be a bit...
They mentioned Danny Ings has got a soft tissue injury, but then he often has. I mean, if you were a Southampton fan, you'd have probably guessed that he wouldn't be fit to play against you the following season. But Luiz and Traoré are a bit of a strange one for me.
Yeah, but definitely, I mean, Ings, Luiz, Traoré, potential, and Konsa would have probably all started against the Saints.
Yeah.
So there's more mitigating circumstances, but it's one of those games where you've got to get something just to stop the rot.
Agreed.
Personally, from my little bubble, I don't even think the Smith out conversation is a conversation at this moment in time.
Nothing,
it's like you're going through bad form. This happens. So in adversity, you might have kind of pulled together. And you're just seeing all these fuckers break rank and trying to throw him under the bus straight away. It's like, what exactly are you hoping for here? I mean, if we don't win for another five games or whatever, then, you know, fair enough. There's big question marks. Especially at the end of this month.
And this sort of thing, Smith's under pressure. Well, he should be under pressure, because the players are as well at all times, because they should, with the expectations and the level that they want to be at and the levels that they've hit previously, they should be under pressure. But there's a lot of players at different clubs that are under pressure. You have to deal with it.
I don't know why people take credence from social media, especially Twitter. Like, nameless people make comments and the local press make articles out of them. You know, who are these bums making some of these comments? I mean, it's not as if their qualifications justify any validity to these comments, that you would actually make articles out of them. It's all it's like a poison merry-go-round. If a player has a bad game and there's all these tweets about him giving him shit, then, you know, these outlets put out these posts just using all the tweets, saying, basically creating hate articles which get parroted. It's all very toxic. And the Smith pressure thing starts the cottage industry of articles that, you know, I've been reading some of these articles, they've taken zero context. They don't know the full picture, especially some of these national articles that are just judging it from afar. It's like, Smith's lost, Villa have lost four games, you better write the pressure on Smith article.
And if he loses a fifth, his job's going to be under review. Like, you wouldn't have a review anyway.
You know, it's a continual thing. It's not as if they, Purslow and Smith have never spoken to each other for 6 months and they go, oh, it's time for your review. It's a continual thing, and an international break is an obvious, if you've lost five games on the trot, you're obviously going to talk about the way forward.
And Purslow would know that, you know, if you get rid of your talisman, you take away two key members of coaching staff, bring in a load of new players and change the system, there ain't too many clubs where that's just going to click straight away.
If it clicks straight away, it's a fucking bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, this isn't like a masterstroke. This is a big overhaul. Again, bearing in mind, we've probably had big transitional seasons, three of the last four, maybe four of the last five. It was only really last year we didn't.
Yeah, and on the pod, we said at the very start, we expect to have a better second half of the season because of what's been happening in pre-season. COVID has called off two pre-season games. I mean, the going into the season, it was
pretty shambolic.
Big question marks, because it was shambolic, and then there was injuries, and then there was people bought who were injured when we bought them, like Liam Bailey, and needed pre-seasons under the belt. So,
and then there's the international break picture that's broken up all your progress every 3 or 4 weeks.
So am I sitting here surprised that Villa have had a rocky start? No. So that's why I'm not jumping to this gun where it says, oh, Smith out. And then you're like, well, here's Newcastle with multi, you know, the richest team in the
hundreds
league.
Hundreds of billions.
Richest team in the league. And they can't even find a decent manager swiftly. So this, you know, I don't understand the situation here. What do these people who want Smith out straight away are expecting? What is the best case scenario? Who are they expecting to come in and change everything?
And how are they going to deal with the same situation of injuries and, you know, let's make loads of transition. And then when it's not quite working, let's make an even bigger transition and overhaul the whole thing.
Yeah.
Good one.
And some prick in the Daily Mail writes something about Fonseca, like some
dreadful
random manager who has jumped from club to club. He's, you know, he's the equivalent of a mercenary chap. He's not somebody who's had like a good 5 or 6 seasons, made his name somewhere, and then is trading on the back of that. I mean, he ended up in Russia to pick up a paycheck, and that's his longest spell. Everywhere else, it's almost like just 1 year and then he's out. So if that is your answer to this problem, then you really haven't got a fucking clue. And it's just... people's perceptions on football are almost like they've learned everything from playing Football Manager. And when you see the local press, you know, some of their output is playing Football Manager. I mean, there's no surprise. So I don't understand how you can't be of a certain age and look to see what we've actually been through as Villa supporters in recent times.
And then learn from it.
Yeah, Alex McLeish, nobody really wanted him in. But once he was in, they gave him a fair crack of the whip. He was never going to get any honeymoon period or anything. But they saw it out longer until the end of the season. Same with Lambert. I mean, we went through, I was going to say hell and back, but we went through hell, stayed in hell, and then went through some more hell.
And then finally decided to get out of hell and went to the depths of hell.
Yeah. Let's see if there is a bottom to hell. The first manager that's actually been decent for you for a decade, you don't just sack him straight away after like 4 losses, and there's plenty of mitigating circumstances. And then maybe you say, oh, well, you know, if you go back 25 games or whatever, we've only won, you know, 25, 26, whatever it is, we've only won 9. Well, you know, this is, you're talking about the end of the season where your main player was out. And there was nothing really to play for, you know, once you lost a couple of games and lost touch.
Well, and Ross Barkley was out as well. You lost your 2, essentially, on paper, your best players.
The belief kind of drained out, and you just write that season off. And so to add it on, it's not really, it's not an exact science. It doesn't really prove anything. So, you know, get back to me at the end of November. That's the first step. And then you think, have we got a problem here?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But Smith is notorious for bad runs. As you said, in the last podcast, he's streaky. But he manages to change the mindset. I mean, as he says, he's pretty consistent and, you know, the ups and the downs, so he doesn't really panic.
Fortunately.
And as he said, you know, it's not the first time... we've been in this situation. You know, we stayed up in our first season in the Premier League. In football, you're going to have wins and losses. That happens. It's how you deal with them. My way is to always be consistent and make sure there's no panic and that we're in control. We're determined to put things right.
Yeah. And may I refer, historically, if you go back to John Gregory's era, 99-2000, Gregory went 9 games without a win. I think he lost 6 of those games.
Yeah.
And they still ended up finishing the season superbly. They got to a semi-final in the League Cup. They got to the final of the FA Cup. And finish the season strongly in the league. You've got to ride it out, man.
Let's say the Twitterati control the situation and, you know, Southampton beat Villa 5 games and they sack him straight after that. If that happened, A, I'd be surprised. It would remind me of Ron Atkinson's departure where you're thinking, hang on a minute. surely he needs, he's been a decent manager. Surely he deserves a crack of the whip to kind of turn this around. You know, in Ron Atkinson's case, I mean, you know, hang on a minute. We were challenging for the title and then won a cup the next season. And then suddenly he's getting fired. I mean, we did go on a bad, bad run. But it would have that kind of feeling about it, that kind of, it's like a surprise, but also it's not like you're not in agreement 100%, you know, he had to go.
No, and bearing in mind that season, of course, Little came in, they had a bit of an upturn, but then their form fell off a cliff as well, and they only just stayed up.
Yeah.
Like Atkinson never had them in and around the relegation zone.
Yeah, so I'm surprised, but you know, we're even having this conversation. It's like, it's kind of man up time because your team does go through poor periods. I mean, speaking of the Southampton game, and this is not a must-win game. I mean, if we got a draw against Southampton, I'd be pretty happy because this is not a team. Even when you consider Southampton, you're thinking, they're contenders for relegation. But when you look at it, they've only lost 3 games out of 10.
They're actually a very mid-table side.
They may be 14th, but they're one place above us. But they've only lost 3 games. So when you look at it, they've only won 2. That's been their downfall. And when you consider we've taken their main source of goals out of the equation, Danny Ings, you can see that all round they're, you know, organised, not easy to break down. But the reason why they're drawing a lot of games and perhaps not winning is because Ings is at Villa, injured.
Yeah, but they're well drilled. You know, this is a side that's gone to Manchester City and kept a clean sheet. There won't be that many sides who do that this year.
Yeah, so a weakened Villa team turning up there and you calling it a must win. Why is it a must win?
In terms of stopping the rot, of course it is, but you'd want to win. Every game's a must win. You want to win every game.
But if you get a draw there, you think that's probably part of the course.
I'd imagine it'll be a similar game to the game at St Mary's last year, you know, where we nicked the win, didn't we? But frankly, we didn't deserve to. You know, it was a bit of a kind of...
Yeah, it was a smash and grab. But periods. I mean, that's probably the most I'm expecting from this game. It's a tight game. If Villa are determined and show better defensive organisation as a team than in recent games, then the best we can get is a smash and grab, which, we were surprised to get away with it last time, weren't we? It wasn't...
Oh, mate, we got Southampton battered us, didn't they, in the second half of that game last year. But it was a great, really positive result at the time when Villa were teetering at that point. And that was Villa with Grealish.
Yeah, I mean, the one disturbing thing, I mean, obviously, James Ward-Prowse... has decent set-piece delivery, and Villa are fifth in terms of, some call it the aggression table, but they've had the joint fourth most amount of yellow cards this season and also a red card on top, level with Leeds, actually. So
I think a lot of that comes from defensive organisation. You know, when you make stupid decisions and silly errors, you end up having to kind of foul your way out of trouble, frankly.
Yeah, and it's not like Villa are an aggressive team, as the stat title suggests. It's more that is probably in discipline and, as you said, making up for errors. So they need to make sure they're not turning it over like that, or else they're just going to present this game on a plate to Southampton and play to their strengths. But, I mean, worryingly... you know, if you look at the complete record across 38 games in the Premier League since football was invented in the Premier League, Southampton have actually won more games against Villa in the head-to-heads, 15-14. So that shows you pretty much where we are in the landscape nowadays. If Southampton have beaten us more in more games since the Premier League started, it's not as if we can consider ourselves a big, big club nowadays, because we've had 10 years of rot and we've got to...
Yeah.
We need a few good, like literally have to string a few good seasons together just to win back our reputation.
Yeah, well, I think Southampton have, I think we've beaten them, was it 1 in the last 9, and we've won 2 of the last 13 since they got promoted back, because obviously they went down and down again.
Yeah.
Since they came back into the Premier League. We haven't been able to lay a glove on them for long periods because we were in decline.
So they're looking at this thinking, oh, it's the best chance of 3 points we've had for a while.
Well, most teams will view Villa at the moment as a bit of a sitting duck because Villa's confidence is on the floor.
Yeah, Smith addressed but didn't address dropping Mings. Didn't really, it was very vague what he said. I still thought, I thought it was more of a formation situation that caused the back three, let's say, not to perform. And, you know, Mings is being dragged out to the left because Target isn't tracking back quite quick enough, whether that's the player's fault or it was part of the... How that 3-5-2 was organised, and you know, likewise, Cons are having to drift out to the right because Cash has stayed up as well. So these are two centre backs who have played very well as a pairing, but in a three because of the being dragged out of position when we've been caught out on the counter. And we saw that teams worked us out very quickly after that United and Chelsea games. So I mean, obviously Mings wouldn't be happy about that, but Smith said he made the decision to win a football game. And I just think that is not the, if I want to beat West Ham, that's not the decision I'm making.
No, I mean, I would say actually in the first half, especially Konsa actually dealt with Antonio quite well. So if that was the tactic, I kind of get it, because I know traditionally Mings has always got involved in that sort of rough and tumble and tends to get into trouble when he does. Maybe that was the decision. We don't know the actual tactical thinking behind that decision, but if it gets a reaction out of Mings this week, so be it. But there are other positions that where we're struggling and you think, well, Target's, you know, confidence is on the floor at the moment. Are they going to play Ashley Young over him? Are you just going to have to play him through this period and hope that he comes out the other side? I don't know what the decision to that is.
Yeah, I would have started with Young against West Ham because it literally cost us the last three games with key incidents.
Errors,
yeah. The penalty against Arsenal and then two own goals, really. They weren't classed as own goals. They were classed as deflections, but in essence, another defender might have prevented both of those. So that's the man I'd have been dropping 100%. And, you know, he may be dropped for this game, to be honest.
He may well be. I mean, we don't know if there's going to be another sort of tactical shakeup or a selection. The thing is, because of the injury situation we've got, or injuries and illness or whatever, our options are limited.
I would be tempted to play 3-5-2.
Yeah.
If I'd throw Archer up front instead of Ings. It's like considering some of the players out, unless Sanson is at a level where he can really start, but I don't know. We still have to see him play games to assess him, his ability and, you know, our confidence in him.
Yeah, I do hope that the latest international break has come at a good time for us. You'd probably think it has, to be honest.
Yeah, no, 100%.
We just need to get through this game and then really get back to the drawing board, frankly.
Yeah, because this is not, it's not like a must-win game. It's like, to me, the situation, if you want to get excited about it, it's like we have to pick up points in November. That's how I'm defining it. We're playing Saints, Palace, Brighton. Now, that looks like winnable games, but fact of the matter is, and we'll leave you with this key stat, is those three teams have only lost seven games between them this season, while Villa have lost six. So that three teams have lost only one more game than Villa. Now, after Southampton, the games against Brighton and Palace, you're playing two teams that have only lost twice in 10 games this season, and only Chelsea and Liverpool have lost less. So these are not walk in the park games. These are tough nuts to crack. I mean, Palace have drawn six.
But Vieira's got them organised. And it's always a difficult place to go, Selhurst Park, at the best of times.
Yeah, and that's what's missing from Villa at the moment. You know, how the Saints, Brighton and Palace are organised, and you could say they're punching above their weight. I mean, each of them have had good results. I mean, you're talking about two teams there that have done well against Manchester City. They've taken points and beaten them. And Brighton also fought back against Liverpool. So these are no schmucks. So maybe Norwich and Newcastle are the only games I would expect Villa to turn up at and actually win. So they're going to have to earn their place this season. But the thing is, the bottom line is we've just got to get organised, because we're looking at like a relegation team at the moment by the amount of goals we're shipping and silly mistakes.
Yeah, we need to stop the rot. Simple as that.
And we need to stop the show. So fingers crossed we can get something at St Mary's, and then we'll join you in a full show as we go into the international break, where I hope Aston Villa and Dean Smith find the kind of therapy that's going to turn our season around.
Hey, hey.
Until then, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.